I was in steampunk costume because I always go in some sort of costume every year, typically.
Sure.
Steampunk costume, and the guys at the torture haunted house basically call down, "Sir, sir, we have steam torture. Come in. Geez. Come on in."
Steam torture. Not sure what that is. Maybe that's a whole new kind of fetish.
I almost went in, but I did not fall for that.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a magazine.
Steam Torture Monthly.
Definitely.
Welcome to Nerd Burger! Number 110.
Yes, number 110.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig.
And here we are.
Number 110. Isn't that a lot more than 11?
It's got 11 in it.
And down goes the music.
Hi, Craig. How's it going?
Good. How's your lawn look?
Fantastic.
Got started a little late today because the lawn people were here. And leaf blowers akimbo. And we were afraid that we weren't going to be able to record very well.
Not only that, but there was some delicate tree trimming, which occurred at the end, of course.
Oh, sure.
And that was the part that I had to supervise to make sure that, you know, they didn't rape my land.
Whoa! Like the white man?
Funny, because it's backwards. Yeah.
So, we do have a guest again today.
Hey, look at that. Life feels just
like Sigourney Weaver. It's a pretty mellow song. For JD.
Yep.
Hello, JD.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Now, tell me.
Pretty good.
Did you actually feel like Sigourney Weaver when she had to kill those aliens?
No, actually. The next verse is Winona Ryder when she killed the vampires.
Okay. I feel like Winona Vampire.
Winona
Ryder when she had to kill those vampires.
In the lines, it's Winona Ryder, and she did a very bad accent, and so did the other guy. It's a really good line.
So we got you here finally, JD.
That's right.
Yeah. Glad to be here.
Several episodes
so
ago,
are we.
We were short a person.
Yeah,
because
sorry.
We were short a guest because you had real world stuff happen.
I crashed and burned.
That show literally was the Craig and Mike show.
Yeah, that was the only one so far that's been strictly the Craig and Mike show. Although there's lots of Craig and Mike stuff floating around in our test work that we did. One of these days we'll dig through there and maybe put something up for a little bonus.
I like the Craig and Mike show. It was a good one. Good episode.
Dave had nice things to say about the whole podcast experience and about the two of us. You know, admittedly, Dave's a friend of mine and you've met him before as well.
Yes.
Kind of know him. But he said, you guys like have a good rapport.
You and I.
You and I.
Huh.
You and me. Me and you. The two of us together. Yes.
Dos hermanos.
Los pollos hermanos. So there. High praise from one of my friends and a guy who was on the podcast.
Is he
too.
The 10th listener?
He might be the 12th. I don't 12th, know. We're up okay. to maybe 12. Now we got it.
He would have been the 10th guest if we counted Emily first.
That's true. And to be honest, I think in their relationship, Emily kind of overshadows Dave anyway.
She's got control of the knitting needles in that relationship.
Well, she's, if you look at our little blurbs on the website about the guests, it's clearly written out who's in charge of the relationship.
Oh, okay.
So you have to check that.
I will read it again.
I hadn't read that since
when it was first put up.
Pretty much. So thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Now go back to Japan and come back and report on us more for us down the road. I'm sure he said he can talk for hours and hours about Japan though.
Okay. So. Well, that's, you know, 5 hours. That's five shows worth of Japan.
True enough.
Maybe we could do a special extended Nerd Burger. I don't know if our internet account or our website will let us post something that big.
Well, you can always break it into two pieces.
Or really lower the audio quality.
That's true.
Ow.
Sometimes we do that automatically.
You don't need Don't need any help with that.
Knocking on Formica.
That's wood.
Okay.
It's veneer. It's wood.
It's like a tiny little thin piece of wood. And now he's knocking on his head, which
Doesn't make any noise.
Don't hit the microphone. What's wrong with you? We spent like $7 on that thing.
At least a couple dozen.
Something.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of personal news.
Okay.
My car.
Oh.
Is paid for.
Congratulations.
Very good. Congrats.
I got a big fat paycheck from Wizards of the Coast.
I was going to say, you certainly didn't do that from the advertising revenue we've been generating.
No.
So Wizards of the Coast paid for it, eh?
You want to bring the sound back up? There we go.
Sorry.
Yeah, I got a paycheck. I finally had a sound effect for you, and you had the sound turned down. Jeez. Yeah, I got so with that, I was able to fire off the last few payments of my car all in one shot. So now it's all mine. And the adventure that I got paid for.
Everything okay there?
There's a truck going by.
Ah.
That'll happen sometimes. There's a road out there.
Yeah, I see that.
Well, I saw a very large truck full of very long lengths of PVC pipe, and it said so-and-so's irrigation service.
So-and-so, really?
Well, I don't know. I didn't read it that close.
Was that the last name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was that spelled? S-O-I-N-S-O?
Something like that. No. So we might be hearing even more noise.
Oh, good.
Jackhammering. Well, let's make sure drilling into the ground.
Let's make sure to point it out.
Okay.
For the listeners.
That noise that you didn't hear that just distracted us. Yeah.
Because we're like cats. Something shiny or fluffy comes along.
Oh, squirrel!
That's Doug the dog. Have you seen Up, the movie?
Yeah, it's a good one.
The Pixar movie?
No, I don't have to watch kids' movies.
But Pixar movies aren't kids' movies. And I'll say, I think, most people agree that the first 10 minutes of Up is absolutely heartbreaking.
It is wonderful.
It's like the saddest 10 minutes of a movie I've ever seen.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. But anyway, I got paid for an adventure called Dark Lantern, which has also gone live.
Ooh, sweet. And will we be putting that on the website for people to go and purchase?
To purchase? No.
Oh, it's free?
No, it's not free. You got to pay for it at Wizards of the Coast. It's part of the magazine subscription.
That's what I said, purchase.
Yes, but not from us. We're not going to make any money off it. I made my money off of it.
You already made your money.
And I transformed that into a car.
So buy as much or as little as you'd like.
But that thing went up, so I'm happy about that.
It's congratulations.
It's a really small car, though. Just to make sure that everybody understands.
Yeah, it's not like I got a caddy from working for Wizards of the Coast.
It's a beautiful car.
Caddy. What are you, 70?
I think so. I might be getting... I've noticed little things in myself where I'm just like... I'm just this side of...
Does that got the North Star system in it?
No, it's like... There was a discussion I had with somebody a while back about... the way information is distributed now. Like, for example, what happened was there was the bridge collapse in northern Washington, and it was reported within minutes because somebody who was right there at the bridge had a Reddit account and took a photo of it and posted the whole little description of what just happened and was like the first reporter on the scene. And then it took, time after that before the actual news media got a hold of it.
Yep.
And, I found myself thinking, like, that's one of the amazing things about the time that I live in. And then, I've seen that transform from when I was, when I was in high school or a kid, a news item like that, if you saw it at all, would be buried in the national news at like 6 o'clock at night. It'd be 15 seconds long and it might not even make it in there unless there was a fatality.
Right. It'd be,
but now it's everywhere all of a sudden immediately.
It'd be big on the local news there. And that's pretty much it.
Maybe national news if somebody got killed.
Right.
But now everything's, boom, boom, boom. Actually, boom, people take a photo, put it up, upload it to the internet immediately. Wham, information. And I found myself thinking, back when I was a kid and I was like, oh man,
that's long time.
I'm one step down the road
Exactly.
I'm very close to starting to pull those now. Back when I was a boy, we only had 3 television channels.
Tell us again, Grandpa Craig.
We should not talk about age.
I watched Golden Girls because it's all that was on.
Also because you could identify with it, right, Grandpa Craig?
No, I was young then. Damn it, you whippersnapper. I have to pee. Because that's going to come too. Now I'm having to pee every 45 minutes as you get older.
I already have to do that.
Yeah.
But I have kidneys the size of marbles, apparently.
JD, how big are your kidneys?
No, well, I'm not. My dad has to pee a lot. He doesn't drink liquor liquid when he's doing dinner because he would have to pee too fast.
You have to get up in the middle of the meal.
So I'll blame him.
Getting old.
It happens. But unlike you guys, he's like 75. He has an excuse. So.
I don't have an excuse yet, but I'm preparing myself for it. I'm settling in on the idea that I'm going to get to be the old guy.
Crotchety.
Yeah.
I'm falling apart. I just found out a couple of days ago that I have a strained LCL.
Oh, wonderful.
Do you know what an LCL is?
I used to.
Lateral cruciate ligament.
Lateral collateral ligament.
Okay.
Collateral. I take issue with their naming scheme.
Yes.
I end up with lateral collateral.
Collateral is crazy. Yeah.
Is it distal?
The cruciate ones are the ones that are inside your joint. The, right. The collateral ones are the ones that are on the outside.
Okay. So you have a bad one?
I have a strain.
You have a spring that's not wound tightly enough. One of these days your legs just go.
Pretty much. Yeah. But
I hope somebody gets it on you know, records it.
Well, my doctor is like, so what were you doing? And I'm like, nothing. You know, what do you mean nothing? Like, I don't know. I just woke up one day and it hurt.
I know. That's another sign of getting old. What did you do to hurt your back? I watched television.
I sat on the sofa too long.
Yeah.
I was thinking toilet, but yeah.
I had dinner.
No, that's hemorrhoids.
How'd you hurt your elbow? Ouch. I had dinner. Hemorrhoids. Let's roll off onto some other thing. Yeah, you got okay. any newsy things or any little things?
I have. Speaking of my doctor, my doctor's hilarious. He's I call him Didgery Doc because he's Australian.
He's Australian.
That's right.
He talks like that.
Wouldn't that be?
Does he call you mate?
Diggery Doc?
Huh?
Wouldn't it be Diggery Doc?
However you pronounce it.
Okay.
Is it Diggery Doo?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's American, so he can bastardize other people's words.
Oh, yeah,
words.
Totally.
If you wanted to, you could pronounce it trumpet. You know, that Australian trumpet thing, the big long wooden, the trumpet.
It's more like an Australian oboe, really.
Right. So
bassoon.
So you have an Australian.
Bassoon, yeah. That's, bassoon. Yeah, bassoon. Okay. We'll go with bassoon.
So you have an Australian.
Didgery bassoon. Yeah, so the last couple of times I've been in there, he's just walked in, said hi, and said, "You got to check this out," and shoved his smartphone in my hands.
Now, does he say hi or does he come in and go, "Oi"?
No, he says oh. Hi or hey there. But anyway, this one, it's a YouTube video, and we'll put the link up on the website. But there really isn't that much to see. It's pretty much just the guy standing there talking. Okay. At you. So the audio will be just fine.
Do the job.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I'm going to leave our things up so we can comment on it because it's not that critical that we hear everything, but you'll get the idea.
Hi, I'm Cornelius Grupper. I'm a neurologist and senior research chemist here at SleepThinker. Did you ever notice how many stupid people surround you?
Two in this room with me.
Hey.
Then you might be one of them, in which case you can turn off this video and carry on with your life. It's no secret that morons and idiots are the majority of the world's population. They're not suddenly going to get smarter or start acting reasonably. It's you who will have to change. You're in the minority. We have developed a pill, which, depending upon active ingredient concentration, can reduce a person's IQ permanently. We have minus 10, minus 30, and the strongest minus 50. But why should I consider lowering it, you might ask? Because life is easier, and the world is a much happier place when you're dumb. Wouldn't you like that? We recommend lowering your IQ to around 70.
Force
don't worry, with an IQ of 70, you can still tie your shoelaces and write an average rap song. Simply speaking, the pill softens your mind, but it still needs to be reprogrammed. So after taking the pill, you spend the rest of the day in your room listening to Lil Wayne and Pitbull music, also reading The Sun and watching MTV. You then take a nice hot bath, go to sleep, and in the morning, you wake up dumber than you were the day before. Self-awareness, decency, lack of confidence, even fear will cease to exist. Jump off the roof, drive drunk, set your own flatulence on fire. All of these meaningless and dangerous activities that you never tried will become very enjoyable.
Well, that's actually not that dangerous as long as you're wearing a sturdy pair of jeans.
Oh, you,
as the
you
Mythbusters
tried this,
have, no, the Mythbusters have
oh,
proven
okay,
this.
Right.
Oh, so you
perfectly
can,
safe
you can
to light your own flatulence on fire.
As long as you've got something to protect your hairy butt.
Correct. And to answer your question, it's almost done.
And fun. Now, unfortunately, there is one side effect that I must mention. All those people that you had no concern about will suddenly start to annoy you. People of other races, other sexual orientation, people with more money. Basically, anyone different from you. But the good thing is that you won't have to hate them on your own. You'll make plenty of like-minded friends. Because you'll be in the majority. So think about it. The world's a much brighter place when you're not too bright for it. Jeez. To find out more information about Minus IQ, visit our company's website at www.sleepthinker.com.
Shazam.
So how did I didn't visit the website, so I don't know what's actually there, but...
If there's really a pill there, I'm going to be a little afraid.
It says Sleep Thinker Films, so they probably just have a bunch more stuff like that.
So back to the IQ topic from
episodes
ago with James.
Jumping back, yeah. Well, so like, wasn't 70 one of the presidents or something?
No, the George W. was 125.
125, okay.
And Hillary was 140.
140 or 45 or something like that. Yeah, the joke was that George W. was 125, and you know we want to make him look smart, but not too smart.
Right. And who was it? OJ was like 89.
Something like that.
Ouch. Which apparently is about one-third his current weight. Did you see him?
Oh, he's huge. Yeah. Huge and slow. And
he's all bloated and old.
Yeah. Well, that happens.
Ain't going to be killing anybody with that physique.
Yeah. Putting to bed the stereotype that all people in prison are buff because they don't have anything better to do than work out in the gym. Apparently, his prison doesn't have one of those.
Yeah. Not all prisons arrange for that. They don't chase you with shivs at every prison. So.
I just wanted to point out one thing, though, that mm-hmm. guy in that video was talking about everyone else, not you, our dear listeners.
Oh, of course not. Of course
no,
not.
No.
And not any of the people in this room right now, nor any of the people who have been in this room
correct
to record before, except maybe James.
Ouch.
Well, he himself has said that he's gotten dumber over time.
Well, I admitted to that too.
Okay, you too then. You and James.
Okay.
And probably me as well, I'm sure. I have a lot of useless trivia in my head, but that doesn't mean I'm intelligent. It just means I have a lot of useless crap in my head.
I learned how to say something in Spanish today.
Is it, I apologize for all the dog shit, because that's what you asked me.
No, Allison knew that one. I don't remember what apologize was.
Or sorry about all the...
What was, but I do know how to say caca de perro.
Dog poopy?
Yep. No, I learned how to say muchas malas hierbas, which literally translated as many bad herbs, but because there's no word for weeds in Spanish,
herbs,
it's malas hierbas,
bad herbs,
bad herbs, weeds. Yeah, bad little plants. So now that I've described my lawn,
thanks for coming and listening to Nerd Burger, where we talk about where somebody's dryer came from and what's been happening in Mike's lawn.
Yep.
That dryer's working out fantastically.
Did you have anything else over there?
I do.
Is this news?
It is. Dateline, Timbuktu. I'm not kidding.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Of course, I don't know where that is in the article now. My show probably left a little to be desired today because I was busy babysitting new landscapers.
Go for it.
You never call. You ignore meetings. Read Al-Qaeda's letter to terrorist. Terrorist leader Mukhtar Belmukhtar has been slammed by his Al-Qaeda bosses for his unwillingness to follow orders and critiqued for his failure to carry out any large attack. His ego bruised, he quit and formed his own group to compete directly with his former employer. Within months, he claimed responsibility for two attacks so large they rivaled the biggest operations undertaken by Al-Qaeda's wing in Africa. After years of trying to discipline him, the leaders of Al-Qaeda's North African branch sent one final letter to their most difficult employee. In page after scathing page, they described how he, one, ignored meetings, two, refused time and again to carry out orders, three, didn't answer his phone when they called, and four, failed to turn in his expense reports.
What?
The employee, international terrorist Mokhtar Belmokhtar, responded the way talented employees with bruised egos have in corporations the world over. He quit and formed his own competing group. The Al-Qaeda letter, found by the Associated Press inside a building formerly occupied by their fighters in Mali, is an intimate window into the ascent of an extremely ambitious terrorist leader who split off from regional command because he wanted to be directly in touch with Al-Qaeda Central. Yeah, so this guy...
I'm still stuck on Al-Qaeda expense reports.
Yeah.
So they got to put up with that too?
Yeah, it's hilarious. They and I didn't have time to go... The article's ridiculously long. It's funny how the terrorists, the way that they speak in very grandiose terms, like the blood of the infidels shall flow through the rivers, the streets like rivers, and blah blah blah.
It's all propaganda. It's show. It's the business of show for them.
Right. Their corporate HR letter is written. It's like this weird hybrid of HR speak and that kind of talk. It's hilarious. Let me see if I can find.
They threatened to cut off his head, or
they're referring to a letter that he wrote them, where he announced. I guess it's his resignation letter. Your letter contained some amount of backbiting, name calling, and sneering. We refrained from wading into this battle in the past, out of a hope that the crooked could be straightened by the easiest and softest means. But the wound continued to bleed, and in fact, increasingly bled until your last letter arrived, ending any hope of stanching the wound and healing it.
Wow, that's a really extended metaphor.
No kidding.
Now, what did you say about the punishment over there?
That they didn't threaten to cut his head off.
Now,
they may have.
Gives a whole new meaning to the word.
On and on.
Gives
and
a
on.
Whole new meaning to the word severance. Yeah. I was sitting on that for about 30 seconds waiting for you to stop talking.
But at some point he had gone to Timbuktu.
That's just bizarre. That
rather than walking alongside us in the plan we outlined, he managed the case as he liked, they write indignantly. Here we must ask, who handled this important abduction poorly? Does it come from the unilateral behavior along the lines of our brother, which produced a blatant inadequacy? Trading the weightiest case, Canadian diplomats, for the most meager price, only 700,000 euros.
You know what they
should do? When the going rate was apparently 3 million.
You know what they should do?
How? For Canadians?
And then he took the money. He took the money and ran.
Not good.
You know what they should do to him?
What?
Beat his wife.
Ouch.
Right? Because you don't perform violence on the men.
I don't know.
You got to perform the violence on the women, even though they didn't
actually. Don't they do that all the time, every day anyway?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But yeah, so.
Ouch.
Well done, Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda Part 2. Or did he name it like Al-Qaeda? You know, something that kind of sounds the same so that people will mistake it.
It still had Al-Qaeda in the name, but it was spelled slightly differently.
Oh, well, that's a thing, too.
I don't think anybody knows how to spell it
in English, right? Yeah. You know, because, a lot of the Middle Eastern and Northern African and all that, nobody knew how to spell Gaddafi. Was it
a Q or a G?
G or a K or...
Translation of the Arabic characters can be done either way, so...
Mm-hmm.
If they had just referred to him as that douchebag...
You mean
would
Jeff?
Have served all the problems. Trent.
Well, actually,
Trent.
Jeff's the stone delivery guy.
Two names.
Oh, of course he does.
His actual given name is Mokhtar Belmokhtar. But
so is that like John Johnson?
It sounds like it. Yeah,
Something along.
I don't know if Bell is the
son, child over son over.
Right.
Most languages have something like that.
But he also has a war name. Namdegar.
Okay. Of course. His superhero name.
Khaled Abu Abbas.
His super evil hero name.
So the letter refers to him as Abu Abbas the whole time. I skipped it. Anyway. It's just, we'll put the link up there. It's a really, really long article, and they take their time quoting the entire letter. It's pretty funny, though.
It's bizarre.
And this was South Africa?
This was...
reporting this.
Who was reporting it? Quick, figure that out. Somebody.
I don't know. I didn't print
it was on the internet. Okay, never mind.
We'll give credit. We'll give credit on the website.
Maybe it was a blogger from Idaho.
Hang on.
You can put it on the website.
It's not important.
Somebody really cares who reported it.
I did, sorry. And Shuligan.
Thank you.
While we wait, we'll listen to The Girl from Ipanema. As sung by Matthew. exciting, exciting podcasting.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Okay, time's up.
New York Daily News.
New York Daily, okay.
All right. So someone with a name with...
I think I had to Google it because my bookmarks haven't synced for my other computer. Anyway.
I have too many computers to keep track of everything and sync all my information up.
I don't have enough.
First world problem.
Yeah. Or I do have enough. They just all need to be in this room.
So, JD.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about something?
I don't know. Do I? The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh. RHPS.
I saw that when I was 9.
I saw it when I was 11, but it was the first year it came out. So.
Oh. Was that at a midnight showing with
it
all
was,
the craziness?
It was a midnight showing mine. In Birmingham, Alabama.
The year it came out?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't crazy then yet.
It was crazy, yes. It was a cult movie the day it opened.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
My aunt took me in the mid-80s.
Yep.
My aunt and her boyfriend, who is now her husband.
It was my nephew.
Why?
Oh, sorry, my cousin.
They took me to a midnight showing of Rocky Horror in Cleveland. I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea how that happened.
What was the Cleveland scene like?
Well, it's the suburban.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show scene.
Suburban Cleveland.
Okay, so it wasn't... I mean, do you have memories of...
Oh, yeah.
People dressed up and guys in drag and...
Well, the three of us were the only people dressed normally.
Well, as far as they were concerned, you were the only people in costumes.
Right.
Because it is Rocky Horror.
It is, totally.
But yeah, so how did you react to that as an 11-year-old?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was amazing. My brother was 9, I was 11.
Did you know really that cool. You were walking into that environment? Did you have any clue?
No, we had no idea at all. Me neither. No, my cousin was about 4 years older than me, so he just thought we'd enjoy it. Because even, so at that age, he was probably also not supposed to be there. Because it was rated R. So.
Yeah.
But no, he just dragged us and we had a great time.
So seeing all the people in costumes and all the spectacle and all that kind of stuff going on is like, must have been like a costume show.
Yes.
Or a costume party. It's like, oh, look, it's just kind of a big party with everybody dressed up. Yep. But then you get into the movie.
I had no idea what was going on because I couldn't hear anything.
It's all about sex.
I didn't understand that the first time I saw it.
Well, sure, yeah, I didn't understand anything that was happening.
It was a lot of fun. It was really beautiful, but...
It's crazy. Yeah. You can't hear any of the dialogue. Yeah. I mean, everyone's screaming the dialogue, but unless you
toilet
know what
paper
it is,
flying,
you can't...
And, I mean,
toast. I got hit. I had rice in my hair at the end of it. Yeah.
It was amazing. And then a couple of years later, we ended up getting to see it, both of us, in Westchester, PA, and became part of the cast. So,
oh, cool.
I love it.
When you were how old?
I was 13 or 14. No, I must have been 15 or 16 when I
went. So a 15-year-old boy, nice and little skinny guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you play Janet?
No.
Because, well, that, hey.
Oh, it was really sad.
When it comes to the cross-dressing, draggy parts
really
of
it. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference, really, because half the people are dressed in garter belts at some point or another.
I obviously
and
to play
I know plenty
Brad.
I mean, to insert this, I have seen Rocky Horror a number of times as well, but I didn't see it until college.
Yeah.
I grew up in small town Wisconsin, nowhere near anybody that was playing that.
Oh,
and
so
it wasn't until Milwaukee in college that I saw it. I saw it many times.
Yeah. I don't know how long it was until I saw it properly. I mean properly on TV where I could actually
listen
understand
to
what
it
was happening.
And
you could actually
dialogue.
Watch movie. Yeah, I've seen the movie like somebody had a videotape and I watched it and I was like, this just isn't very fun.
No, it's not.
After you,
it's good. It's a good movie.
It's
I mean,
a good
it's,
movie.
It's originally a play though.
Yeah, yes. It's a play. It's a musical. So if you can get into the music, it's fun. It's you know, it's about monster movies. Some
it is.
Portions of
sci-fi.
It are sci-fi and monster movies from the '50s, and you know, I dig that stuff. So
yeah,
I got the jokes of Rocky climbing the RKO tower.
Yeah, the first time I listened to all the words of the opening credits song, I understood it because I'd seen most of those movies. I loved it.
With Richard O'Brien.
Singing
through
what's
her name's mouth?
Patricia Quinn.
Patricia Quinn's mouth
is
on the screen, but it's Richard O'Brien singing.
Mm-hmm. I ended up playing Brad. Because what's really sad because the guy that played.
I'm picturing him in tidy whiteys now.
I looked great. No, I was skinny. I was asked to play Rocky, and I still remember somebody in the audience screamed out, "Get the skinny Rocky off the stage." And that really traumatized me a little. So I went back to Brad.
Because you weren't all buff.
No, I was not buff at all.
You weren't at least, well, I mean, Rocky's not terribly muscly, but he is
well,
more muscly
the Rocky
than Brad.
In New York, in Manhattan, the Rocky is a fat woman. So, I mean, you can play with the parody and make a parody of the parody. I love it. So. Yeah. But no, I ended up switching back to Brad, and the guy that played Brad, who didn't want to play Rocky, his name was Elbridge, and he was not, I mean, he was a geeky college student, much less skinny than me, but still interesting characters. Our leader, the leader of our little troop, her name was Jennifer Aspinall. And if you look up Jennifer Aspinall, you'll find out that she's actually a very famous makeup artist. She's been on the show you mentioned a few weeks ago, Face Off or something like that.
Oh, Face Off, yeah.
Yeah. She was one of the specialists that came in and judged
Mask. She was a special guest.
Yeah.
Cool.
She did the makeup for Toxic Avenger and a bunch of other things since then.
I hope her makeup skills have improved since Toxic Avenger, because that wasn't the best Toxic.
She does blood and gore really well.
Well, I mean, you know, the trauma sensibility of stuff,
yes,
where they don't
totally.
They don't strive to be
no
too awesome. They just like make his face all pus filled. Okay,
right. Jennifer was also the lead makeup artist in New York for Saturday Night Live and for Mad TV. So she has a lot of different talents. I like her, but she was just our Frankenfurter. When I knew her, she was just a college student that wanted to play Frankenfurter. And she did all of her costumes. And
Mike, did you ever join the cast?
No.
Perform on stage?
Did
you
ever?
Did you ever want to?
No, not at all. I'm not a theater person.
Didn't want to be riffraff. Put on the bald cap with the long hair.
No.
Do the time warp?
No.
No?
No. I enjoy eating meatloaf, actual
okay.
meatloaf, not made out of meatloaf. Like they did.
Yes.
In the movie.
Took me a second to figure out where you were going with that.
The,
I was like,
the
what?
Meatloaf,
oh,
yes.
Eddie. Yeah.
The dinner. The dinner
played by
scene.
The man named, you know, Meatloaf. I don't even know where that. Why does he call himself that?
That was a football moniker when he was in high school.
Okay.
And I can't remember the actor's real name. He goes by Meatloaf now, but
right.
He had a real name.
Well, he still does. It's not like they took it away from him.
No, he actually uses Meatloaf a day as his
name
now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think isn't it kind of like Meat is his first name and Loaf is his last name? I mean, he treats it that way.
His last name is a day.
Mr. Loaf?
Well,
at least that's what I remember.
We watched the season
I've seen it as Meatloaf a day, yeah.
We've watched the season of Celebrity Apprentice with him.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And people call him Meat.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And
but that's
Trump,
no different.
No,
thing.
Trump called him Mr. Loaf.
Well,
and
I believe
he accepted
that.
It.
I believe.
Well,
that.
He had to because he was competing.
It was Trump, yeah,
and Trump said
whatever Trump.
Anybody
said,
who calls him meat,
go
that's no
it.
Different than
Trump's hair is intimidating. So.
So calling him Meat, even if he doesn't consider Meat his first name, if it's whole name is Meat Loaf, it's no difference than calling you Michael, calling you Mike. I mean, it's just the shortened version of.
But he's got some emotional problems in real life.
Okay.
Really?
I've only seen him as an actor.
He did not
know.
Get along with Gary Busey.
Oh, well, nobody gets along with Gary Busey.
And Meatloaf is the one who had the emotional problems.
He lost it, though. I mean, he lost it.
Well, Gary Busey's...
he accused Gary Busey of stealing his stuff when Gary Busey didn't steal his stuff. Like, he had just misplaced it.
Was Gary Busey throwing out... his little snippets of wisdom where he says that's
his
word and it's an acronym for something and then he makes up or tells you what the acronym is and always, it's always something really
scary.
Ridiculous.
Scary. Never liked Gary Busey, unfortunately. Gary, well, you're a really good actor, but...
Pretty much nobody on that show liked him either.
I like Gary Busey fine, but he is now, he is the way he is because he had some like motorcycle accident or something. He injured himself.
Yeah, he slammed his head into a curb or something.
Yeah, he did something really bad to himself, and now he's, wah. But at least he has an excuse. To our knowledge, we don't know that
Mark Hamill
slammed her head into
excuse.
A curb somewhere, and she's acting like a nut job, too. So.
Wasn't Mark Hamill in a motorcycle accident, or what
car
was it?
Accident.
It was a car accident. That's what...
He doesn't use that excuse.
No, but he didn't.
He's
sustain,
almost that weird.
He didn't sustain
a head injury.
Terrible head injury. He just scarred his face. And
yeah.
So they had to have the Wampa
scar it for him.
Scar it for him for the movie.
I saw him on TV last weekend.
Amazingly,
last week.
They could replace his hand, but they couldn't fix his Wampa face scars.
He was the ultimate villain in what's the show about the Las Vegas police investigators.
CSI?
No, not, I can't remember which show. He is the ultimate villain for the whole season in one of the shows that I watch.
Is it just the one that's called Las Vegas? Or
no, it's a different one. I'm suddenly confused.
Reno 911?
Reno 911. He's the bad guy.
Well, he was kind of the bad guy.
He improvs all of his evilness like they do on the show.
He was kind of the bad guy in Jay and Silent Bob.
Yes.
At the end.
Definitely.
Yeah.
In a lot of shows, he's a good bad guy, I guess. Do you remember The Flash back in the 80s?
Oh, the
he was
live
the trickster?
Action?
Yeah.
I don't remember it, no.
He played the trickster. I own that.
I vaguely recall it, but I can't. I mean, I can see the guy in his costume, but I can't remember what the
it was
any episode
kind
was about.
Of silly.
I was probably too busy watching Golden Girls. Because it was all that was on.
Are you still watching The Soup?
Occasionally, yeah.
But you didn't watch it back when this happened. This was before The Celebrity Apprentice. Busey did some kind of a interview for one of those like Entertainment Tonight type shows, and he just went nuts in front of his camera, and he was yelling at somebody behind the camera, and he yelled at
was
them
there nobody there? Was he yelling at nobody?
I don't know.
Oh.
But he threatened to rip out their endocrine system. And so The Soup played that over and over and over again for probably like 2 years.
That's an awfully specific threat.
But he's sat down in front of the camera with all the lighting and the makeup, and he's like, I'm gonna rip out your endocrine system.
With this, leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
Thank you, Arnold.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Wow.
But without the Israeli accent.
So back to Rocky.
Yeah.
Self-deprecating humor.
Yes. I watched it a crap ton. That's a technical term. Yes.
A Brazilian
times. That's not a real number. That's talking about someone from Brazil.
Or a type of waxing.
Yeah. And had I hung around with that crowd a little longer and everything, I probably would have ended up being in the cast, even if to just like do a fill-in spot or something like that.
Because
I was interested in doing it, but they had a cast that was really dedicated and was always there. So I only kind of knew a few of the people. It would have taken me a while to kind of get my foot in the door there, because I never got a chance to do anything theater. Mike, you say you're not a theater person.
Nope.
Clearly, JD, you are.
I am, yes.
And I am, but didn't become one as early as I kind of would have liked to.
Yeah.
Because my stupid high school had a drama club for years and years and years, and then it disbanded.
Ugh.
And then they reformed it the year after I graduated.
That happens. Financial reasons, probably.
Lack of interest. I imagine it would just didn't get enough people, or couldn't find somebody in the school to run it, teacher. And then it died.
The teacher was doing it, retired, and nobody else wanted to.
And then it died, and it just, for the longest time, it just never resurfaced. And at some point, finally, somebody said, hey, why don't we have a drama club? And
my high school drama club was led by an alcoholic Irishman named Patrick McDade, and he would get so drunk.
Are there any sober Irishmen?
I was going to say,
there
I was
are, there
speaking
are.
As an Irishman, so McDade, I'm allowed to say that.
McDade would sneak down to the bar down below the football fields, and I'd find him there and bring him back to school. I was the kid that found him and dragged him back to school, and he'd hand me the cane that he was using to walk and saying, don't let anybody see you using this. So I had this really
twisted.
He was
so drunk he had to walk with a cane?
Yes.
Good Lord.
He was a wonderful man, but he had some issues.
Did you have an alcoholic teacher?
I'm sure.
In high school? Can you name them?
We had
not
one.
That you have to name them, but can you say, oh yeah, this person?
We had one who was,
I had one.
we had one who was sexually molesting people.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, chemistry teacher.
Now, was this person male or female?
Male.
Male. So when the male teacher does the sexy thing with the female student,
mm-hmm.
right? Female student?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's molesting. But if the female teacher does the sexy thing with the male student,
that's just awesome for the male student, right?
Ouch, well, that's the thing, is it's always just like, you know, the person loses their job, they get a slap on the wrist, whatever.
Yeah.
But no one ever, you know, no one ever gets nailed with any real charges.
They end up marrying the student 5 years later.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Living happily ever after.
professing their love. Oh, I love him.
Wasn't that the first one that happened? Like they got married and had kids.
Yes.
And now that she's out of prison, they're actually together.
I'm sure that's not the first one, but
that was the first big one. Yeah, that was 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. It's been a while. I can't remember what
the names were.
Sounds right.
But
we had a principal that patted girls and boys on the butt. So I wrote about that in our underground newspaper. It was fun.
Oh, my grade school principal, it turned out that he was keeping a diary wherein he kept track of all of the female students' menstrual cycles.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
No, that's
how
not,
he did that, I have no idea, but
good.
He doesn't work there
what
anymore.
What kind of fetish is that?
I don't know.
A difficult one.
This was like the junior high, seventh and eighth graders.
Sure, there's having a thing for underage boys or girls, and then there's acting on that, and then there's like
documenting
just
and
weirdness.
Yeah, but not to defend him, but just trying to understand. Maybe he just wanted to know when they would be, you know, a little extra irritable, and he should stay away. Maybe.
That's
probably not.
Analytical.
Maybe.
And that was a good cover.
Okay, yes. Well, I had a teacher in high school who drank.
Yeah.
Kept his liquor up in the ceiling tiles in his office.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it?
Didn't molest anybody so far as
good,
I know.
Good, good, good. Yep. I had a lot of great teachers. I had some weird teachers,
but we did have a teacher. This is so terrible. I'm going to preface this. Mr. Colasacco, you were a great teacher. We all loved you. Good guy.
Yep.
His name was Mr. Colasacco. Mr.
Colasacco is not any of the people we have previously described.
No. No. Good. So he's not the molesting anything. No. Good teacher, so far as I know. Never did anything, you know, disreputable or despicable or anything. But Mr. Colasacco, when he was very young, had polio. And by the time he got it treated and dealt with, one of his legs was stunted.
Yeah.
One of his legs was considerably shorter than the other.
Yep.
And he was, I guess, just a little too proud to ever, you know, get a lift or to get, you didn't want to get surgery to, you know, because you can get your leg length, then they break your bones and they pull it apart with, hold it in place with that big halo apparatus.
Yep.
So he kind of walked, you know, up and down, mm-hmm. kind of boing, boing, kind of bounced up and down. And had a way of talking that he would, I'm going to give this test, and if everybody, or anybody who doesn't, or anybody who fails it, I'm going to chase you around the room, kicking you in the backside. He'd make jokes about how he was going to, like, perform physical leg activities.
Okay.
He was really good humored about it.
Yep.
He taught algebra, trigonometry, but it's just the weirdest thing is like, because I'm a kid and I'm like, everybody knows.
Clearly, one leg is shorter
than the other and people know why and whatnot. And everybody's kind of, but nobody ever talks about it. But he's totally like, yeah, I'll sing a little song and do a little dance. If everybody gets an A on this test, he would use that all the time.
Jeez. My high school algebra teacher had the world's most awesome comb over.
Oh, I never liked those.
He grew the very back of his... I mean, and he was bald. Like, he was, like, really completely gone. And
right.
Just the little strip around the ears.
Ponytail, but nothing else.
Yeah. He had the strip, you know, just above the ears and around the back. Well, he grew the top part of the back really, really long. And he had really, really thick, wavy hair. And so he just grew this...
All the way forward? Just
and he combed it all the way forward over his head. And,
creepy.
And, you know, as the class would go on, you know, like it would split in places so you could see all the way through.
Creepy.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Like, how does that happen?
It's a vanity thing. I mean, my forehead is
slowly over time, but
my forehead is slowly getting larger. My hair is going up, but it's not receding significantly.
It's becoming a five head.
Kind of. One of my brothers has he thinned out so much on top that he just said, okay, that's enough. Shaved it all off.
Once a year, I shave all my head
shave
off.
Shave it all. Shave your head. You shave your head off?
No, no.
How? That's got to be messy.
Yes. Very. Blood. Gore. Like your shirt. Yeah. Like a Miami Metro.
A fountain.
Blood splatter. Yeah.
I'm wearing a Dexter. And yes, I'm wearing a Dexter shirt.
And I'm wearing a Big Bang Theory shirt. Because
blood spatter.
Because we're nerds. Yeah. Jenny, why aren't you wearing a nerd shirt?
I don't know. I'm wearing flannel. It's ridiculous.
Sleeveless flannel.
Sleeveless flannel.
Sleeveless flannel.
It is for the ladies.
15 years. No.
Not really.
15 years out of date.
That was just a Tosh.0 thing.
15 years ago, this was in style.
15 years ago.
Really keeping I love holding on to old clothes. I love it.
And 20 years ago, the sleeved flannel was in style.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So is that just flannel from 20 years ago?
This was their last gasp.
Where you remove the sleeves
right.
five years later?
Maybe it will work if you just go in and cut the sleeves off. No, didn't work.
What were we talking about originally?
Like your picture show. That
theater.
Was a long time
it
ago.
It was the theater, high school theater.
Stuff. Yeah, we got all over the place.
I did a lot of high school productions.
I never got a chance to do any of that
stuff. I had a lot of fun. My first role was my senior year in junior high school. I played the chief in Get Smart. So I played this old man. And at one point in the play, because it's a play by Mel Brooks, in the play, Max does something stupid and
really?
My fish tank, yes, my fish tank breaks and the fish are falling all over the stage. And you have to do it all in mime. And it was a lot of fun. So that was my first serious production. It was fun.
So you had to pretend that fish were
flopping around. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did your audience?
You're trying to grab them and they're slipping out of your hands.
I was too
scared.
To look at the audience. I mean, we did two productions, two shows, Friday and Saturday, and I don't remember actually looking out to the audience a single time. And it was the cafeteria of the junior high, and so it was almost a surround theater. We were in this little round theater with tables all the way around us. And I couldn't look at anybody, couldn't make eye contact. I just concentrated on Max, and I just made eye contact with Max the whole time and yelled at him and scolded him. And
I was in a play in kindergarten.
It was
The Circus.
Ah,
I don't know who wrote it or whatever. It's probably one of the
Chekhov's.
No, I don't know.
Chekhov's The Circus, right?
Might be.
It's that circus. It was just like, there's a circus and here's some animals and somebody made it up. One of the teachers. Anyway, I played the ringleader. So I had the most lines.
Nice.
And I guess I was the star.
You say with well dick done. Fingers.
With dick fingers, yes. And then we did plays every year at that school. And it was all downhill from there.
Yeah. Ouch.
Like by the end, I was like...
By downhill, do you mean you fell into drugs?
Three or something.
Oh.
I've been
see,
rapist,
I thought maybe...
Rapist number two.
Whoa.
That was
what?
First
of all, there's rapist number two.
Aldunza.
Means there's at least two.
Aldunza. Man of La Mancha.
Okay.
I was in Man of La Mancha, and the chorus in Man of La Mancha are either... townspeople or rapists in certain scenes, and I happen to be rapist number two. It's in the script, honestly.
I was the Miller in Rapunzel.
Nice.
Which wasn't that big
I was
of a
Trombone
part.
Schmitty in Funny Girl. I mean, I had a lot of weird little chorus roles.
You weren't rapist number two in Funny Girl?
No, I don't think
that's
they
a
have
whole
one
different
yeah,
movie different, or a whole different play.
That's the porno.
Whoa.
That's funny shemale.
I don't know. What? Yeah, I was trying to think of what could you do with Funny Girl too. Anyway,
that's again Craig. That's a whole other fetish.
Yes,
funny rape, no such thing.
Nope, definitely not.
Somebody out there has a website dedicated to it, though. I'm sure.
Probably
some of these words don't go together. Yeah. Some of these words don't belong.
Well, I've been told that if you can think of it. No matter how weird, degrading, distasteful, whatever, if you can think of it, there's a group dedicated to enjoying it and talking about it and sharing it.
Website, yeah, totally.
What's that comedian? The guy you like? It's his bit.
Oh yeah, like that comedian I like.
The short guy, kind of trollish
Patton
looking.
Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, that guy.
Trollish. He does call himself a troll now, admittedly, in his stand-up.
He's hilarious. I love him.
He refers to himself as a troll because he gets all the second, you know, he's the character actor. He's
I'm like,
he's
who's that guy? That guy from that show with the UPS driver.
Jeez, yeah. He was in King of Queens, wasn't he?
Yeah. No, he does that whole bit about if you can think of it, there's a magazine devoted for it, devoted to that subject.
Yeah. Not only that, is there's, you know, people that get together for an annual convention and they have online discussions, like, and there's
drinkers monthly.
Yeah, at the least there's
water sports.
Yeah. I'm starting to get a little uncomfortable.
Oh.
So that's not to say that I didn't do some sort of theater-y type stuff. I just never did it in high school and never really did it through much of college.
But you got paid?
No, I did. But I did do Renaissance Fair.
For six years,
I performed at the Renaissance Fair. The Bristol Renaissance Fair.
6 years is pretty good. That's a long...
Made it over 100. Cool. 100 shows, you know, 100 days. Because you do every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, for like 9 weeks.
And where was that again?
Bristol Renaissance Fair. It's in Wisconsin. It's way down in the southeastern corner of the state, like literally a stone's throw away from the Illinois border.
So it's probably where some of our performers...
County?
West of Kenosha.
Is it where our performers go in August?
Is that near Bong?
Hot? Might be.
Recreation facility?
Yeah, right next to the Bong Recreation facility. It's right on that same stretch of road, a couple miles away.
Ouch. Apparently, that's where you go to get high in Wisconsin.
Nice.
No, Bong is it's the last name of some military guy or something that they named. Yeah. They decided to name something after him, and rather than naming something that... Well... They couldn't have done much worse than Bong Recreation Area.
Yeah.
You know, they could have been the Bong Highway or the Bong Road or Bong Bridge.
Wilderness Preserve.
Bong Recreation Area.
Not too far from Mars Cheese Castle, where you can go get your munchies on.
Yeah, true. But I did the Ren Fair for a bunch of years, and so that was kind of theater. I mean, it's street theater. It's all improv kind of stuff. There's very little. I mean, nothing that I did really was scripted. There are some people who have stuff that is scripted.
But you played a character the whole time.
I played four different characters over the course of the 6 years.
Cool.
How many giant turkey legs do you eat in a season?
I eat zero because I've looked behind the building where they keep the turkey legs.
You know what they look like.
You've seen how those are stored and prepared.
Stored? If you mean hung out in the open air with flies buzzing all over them, yes, they are stored.
Ouch.
I saw that. I don't know if they still do that there. I'm not ripping on Bristol now. Maybe they're better about, but I went behind one of those places one time and that's what I saw. And I said, I'm never eating a turkey leg.
Yeah.
So there were other things that I ate there. They were good. And then I knew were being prepared well.
Yeah. What about the fried Coke?
Nothing weird like that.
No, that's new.
That's weird.
All that fried stuff is new. Fried butter. They've got that. There was
keep in mind
there. Fried beer.
Keep in mind, this is all from like a decade ago.
I really want to try fried butter and fried beer.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I know.
Decade ago, I did my 1 week of...
You know me too well.
I did my one stint at the Ren Fair here in Atlanta as a werewolf on the Halloween show, basically.
Sure.
And I was just like really uncomfortable, didn't feel very good. So it was just two days worth of performance. And I just frightened little kids. They frightened me. They tried to frighten me.
I did the Halloween thing too once at Six Flags Great America for Fright Fest. And they have all October. Yeah. They'll have, you know, each weekend in October, it's Fright Fest. And there's all the people. They do haunted houses. And they, like one of the roller coasters, they run backwards and...
Formerly Marriott's Great America.
Yes.
Oh,
and they have...
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
And they have, you know, all people dressed up in makeup and everything. I was a zombie. I was in the Southwest Scaratory, it was called. Nice. Yeah, because they renamed everything to be spooky. It was the Southwest Territory where everything was, you know, Southwestern themed and everything. So I was a Mexican zombie. I have photos.
Yo, Carol Brains.
Well, you have to put those on the website. The photos.
Yes, I have photos of me in costume from the Renaissance Fair and from when I was the zombie. What was my name? We had names, too, because we talked, and, you know, you did the whole thing.
Rapist number two.
We were all... No.
L rapist number two.
But back, in Bristol, at the Renaissance Fair, I did 4 years with the court, with the Guild of St. George, which was the people portraying Queen Elizabeth and her court, and then I did 2 years as a reveler, a town folk.
So you're an expert in speaking Elizabethan.
Oh, it's been forever. I'm not going to try to do the accents. I had to learn. I mean, I had to do an upper class accent for...
Aww.
Yeah. I had to do an upper class accent for when I was in court, and then I had to do a lower class accent for when I played a pig farmer.
Well, let's hear the pig farmer accent.
Master Rupert Friddle. I come from Ipswich to see the Queen. Yes, I played Rupert Friddle.
Rupert Friddle.
Friddle.
Nice.
I just found there was a guy I worked with had the last name Friddle, and I thought it was a funny name. So I took that and threw Rupert on front of it. And there was a whole little Friddle family. There was the Friddle clan. The shtick behind that was I talked to the guildmaster at the beginning of the season and said, I'd like to make like a little family group. And he's like, okay, what do you mean? Well, you know, play characters that are all related, like the Elizabethan country bumpkin family is basically nice. What we would be. And he said, okay, you can have like three people. So we made a little family. And then that was the first year we had four people. The next year we had like four or five. And then at various times throughout the season, somebody would come and guest star as a Friddle. So there was a time, and there was like one day where we had like three. We had like eight Friddles running around one day, yeah, where we all were playing all these. We were country bumpkins, kind of hickish, but in the Elizabethan variety.
Now, did you have to dirty yourself up, like get all muddy?
No, we didn't. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Monty Python and the Holy Grail surf dirty. It was still a show. You know, we were supposed to look fun and cool and interesting and, you know, be something that people want to look at. There were people who played those types of characters. There was the group called the Puss Blotches.
Nice. Ouch.
And that's they were just dressed up terrible and they did horribly disgusting things. And
we had the
people
washing,
covered with boils.
Yeah.
We had the washing women here in Atlanta. I don't watch their show very often, but and I think they changed their show again this year. I go every year.
Like the Wash Well Wenches type?
Yes, exactly. So they try to get the audience wet.
Right.
They changed the show this year. It's
That's
now
what she
mud.
Said.
Had to get it in. You had to get it in somewhere.
That's what she said.
Jeez. Had to get it in. Slow on the draw over there.
That's what she said.
Okay. I'm going to kill your phone.
No, you just need to kill the app.
Silly.
But you enjoyed it. Yeah, I had a great time doing it. And that's where
I'll close it.
Okay. I got into, you know, doing the improv thing. And I think it, you know, it's translated over into me running games and writing and the whole creative side of me. And and for 2 years, I even got paid.
Nice.
I was the improv captain for the Guild of St. Ives for the Reveler Townsfolk. I was the person who taught them, like, basically.
That's a big name tag.
Well, no, it's, I was the improv captain.
Your business card on legal size paper?
Yeah. Well, because I'm uneducated, it has to be on a giant tablet written in really big letters. I can only carry one around at a time because my character was a pig farmer. No, but the guildmaster had a bunch of people to kind of help. And there was somebody that was in charge of character that would help you to develop your character. And there was a music captain and a dance captain and so forth. And I help people prepare to do street improv and to, you know, engage the patrons.
Very cool.
So I had a lot of fun with that. I got paid for those two seasons. Not a lot, but it, you know, I mean, it paid for all of my expenses because everything else is like, you know, volunteer.
Did you buy a bicycle?
No, I buy a bicycle with that because that's all I could afford. I had a car at the time. Thank you. And, but you know, all the bit of money that I made.
Did you
from
buy
that,
a bike rack for your car?
No, it went toward, you know, it covered all my expenses for the year. My camping fee and all the food that, you know, the money that you spend on food and whatnot while you're there and money that I put into costumes and props and all that fun stuff.
So do you have any particular incredibly funny stories that you would like to tell that would last approximately 3.5 minutes?
I don't know if it's that funny of a story, but the one that springs to mind is one year, and this is when I was playing Rupert Friddle. One year, a guy named Alan Vucicevic. Alan, if you listen, his last name is Vucicevic. Everybody called him Vuc. He was playing one of the bad guys. There was a group of good guys and a group of bad guys that would have stage combats during the course of the show. And there was always a story. They'd have like three staged scripted bits, and then they would go out into the street and do improv'd, you know, we hate you and we're going to take you down, whatever the story thing that they came up. And they would have stage combat.
Pitchforks and torches and
rapiers and swords and maces. and quarter staves.
He said rapier.
Was it rapier number two?
Rapier. Rapier number two. Jeez. And so during one of these little fights, right at the beginning of the day, I walked by and I saw that Alan was he was in character playing his part, but he was heckling them like Statler and Waldorf. So I got up there next to him and was like, I know the Muppet Show. I can do this. Vooch and I are buddies. And we started heckling the group and basically doing like vaudeville Statler and Waldorf wordplay and all this ridiculous stuff. And over the course of that first opening bit, we figured out, we were like, oh yeah, we're like this and this and this. And we remembered some of this stuff from Statler and Waldorf. And it was a lot of, you know, this is horrible, get out, boo, you know, and like doing the voices and the whole deal. And over the course of the day, we got together a couple other times and we went and did a little bit of that when there was other stuff going on. End of the day, we went out to the closing gate, which is like, it's this big, you have to walk under it. There's this big balcony. It's an enclosed kind of balcony area. And on one end of it, there's like a turret. Yep. Kind of like a box in a theater, like, you know, an opera box. And so we got up there and we're basically doing our, as people are leaving, we're like, hey, had enough. Hey, get out of here. and you know, just Statler and Waldorfing it up. And the cast goes and they have like a song thing that they do somewhere. And then they all process out and they come out to the closing gate and it's, the cast has their final, they do a song and the patrons that are still around and everything. And it's the, you know, it's the big spectacle ending of the day. And normally what would happen is then the queen, Mary, Queen Elizabeth, played by a woman named Mary, who is lovely, would have a little bit of a back and forth with somebody in the cast. She'd pick somebody and it would usually be, have you enjoy your day at Bristol, blah, blah, blah. And you'd have a little back and forth and they'd wrap it up and be done. She saw what we were doing, got it, and called up to us. And she's like, yo, you there, fellows. Have you enjoyed your day here in Bristol? I said, and we had our prepared bits ready to go. I was like, well, you know, there's nothing like a good Renaissance fair. And Vooch piped in, and this is nothing like a good Renaissance fair. And that's called bungee cording at the Ren Fair.
Bungee cording.
Anything that you do that snaps people back into reality to remind them that they're in the present. That's like, clearly everybody got we were doing Statler and Waldorf. Yeah. That's a no-no.
Oh.
After we do this, I look 20 feet away is Ron Scott Fry, the artistic director of the fair.
Uh-oh.
The guy in charge.
Your boss.
The top dog.
Yeah.
He comes up to us, everything wraps up, and we're getting ready to leave, and we go to walk out, and we're like, oh, Christ, here we go. Ron walks up to him and goes, just kind of looks around. Nobody's really paying attention. He says, that's the funniest thing I've seen all year. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And we didn't.
Very cool.
That's one of my Bristol stories.
It's a good one. I only have one story here in Atlanta. I was in steampunk costume because I always go in some sort of costume every year, typically.
Sure.
Steampunk costume, and the guys at the a haunted house, basically, call down, sir, we have steam torture. Come on in.
Steam torture. Not sure what that is. Maybe that's a whole new kind of fetish.
I almost went in, but I did not fall for that.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a magazine.
Steam Torture Monthly.
Definitely.
Oh. Are we done?
We are.
Okay.
Well, JD, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Sorry you had to wait.
Glad we finally got you here.
But your yard looks great.
It does. It looks fantastic.
How long is that going to last?
3 weeks.
Okay.
They wanted to come every two, but I said no. All right. So you can find us on nerdburgershow.com, at nerdburgershow on the Twitters, and nerdburgershow on Facebook.
Which we managed to not rip today.
Lucky them.
On the next episode of Nerd Burger, Mike and Craig present the first ever Nerd Burger Productions presentation of the Rocky Horror Podcast Show, complete with singing. This is what Mike sounds like when he sings. Bye.
Bye.
Boom. Yep.